Glory to you, O Lord. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." And Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. And for this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, he had put on his robe, and he had returned to the table. He said to them, "You know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. Oftentimes when I'm reading scriptures, I use the Ignatian practice of placing myself in the scene and imagining my own embodied responses. And Jesus and the disciples gathering together is one that is always an incredibly rich experience for me. I imagine hearing noises, people ridding the houses of yeast and leavening, families and friends selecting lambs and negotiating the sharing of food, gathering wood for the cooking fires. I imagine tasting the bread, wine, olive oil, and herbs. I imagine smelling the waning waft of fragrant oil lavished on Jesus by Mary a few days earlier, the dust kicked up from activity in the street, the disciples' exhausted bodies. I imagine seeing the glances between the disciples and their furrowed brows, wondering, who is it? And I imagine the disciples feeling in their bodies and in their bones the anger of the religious leaders hell-bent on getting rid of Jesus and plotting to kill Lazarus, the soreness of muscles, and the fatigue of feet, the tension from holding the traditions of past Passovers with that which will soon come to pass. It's that kind of weariness that leaves them wanting to just stop and gather together for food and fellowship without one more demand. And it's that kind of weariness that we sometimes feel in our own lives that beckons us to gather with one another for supportive hugs and prayers. And Jesus gets this and responds in the only way that he knows how, and that's with love. That night for Jesus and the disciples, it was in the closeness of contact with cool water caressed on calloused feet, even those of the one with the calloused heart of betrayal. There was no need to clean their feet at that time. They had already dragged the dirt from outside to their inside, literally and figuratively. This was love, lavished on the disciples' bodies by Christ's body. And it's that same love that is lavished on us by the body of Christ through one another. It's in our faith DNA that we tend to the body and to bodies. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. And hearing those words today, in many ways, it feels like a cruel betrayal of a commandment to lay before us as COVID-19 wreaks havoc globally and locally. Our daily lives and routines have been upended with 6 feet of social distancing and sheltering in place. We wear masks that cover our smiles when we see familiar faces that are not the ones, especially the ones that are not from our houses. We're told to wash our own hands, but we're discouraged from washing someone else's feet. And if there's one thing that we as Christians know deep in our bodies, all the way into the marrow of our bones, is that whatever is happening in the world, Jesus will radically upend the normal expectations to spread the message of his belovedness. And today is no different. In COVID-19, at time, we have been given an incredible reminder of what together really means. Right now, there is no escaping being in physical solidarity with one another. We belong to one another, regardless of how we try to separate ourselves with labels into the many iterations of us and them. Just as God's belovedness isn't concerned with our labels of us and them, either is COVID-19. So the belovedness and the well-being of each matters to all. The commandment to love one another is undergoing adjustments in how that's lived out right now, so that we can help reduce the impact on healers and providers and the medically vulnerable and those who can't shelter in place. And amidst the fear and boredom and even that warped sense of time that we now experience, there's also love. On social media, there are thousands of acts of artistic creativity and compassionate kindness that have been born from love and offered in hope to others. That love that's commanded right in the face of the death and the unknown. And though physically separated, people are finding ways through phones and computers and old school snail mail to be together, to love one another, to be the body of Christ with one another. For me, my own extended family, we are not people that stay in touch regularly. We usually contact each other a few times a year, maybe over the holidays. But because of COVID-19, we now use Zoom to video chat and eat dinner together weekly. And we share the laughter or the fears and the expectant children along the, who are on their way. It's really a way that we can love one another. And here at Lake Chelan Lutheran Church, your hearts, your bodies know John's statement of Jesus. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And on Tuesday evening, a group gathered as the body of Christ by conference call to share the peace at the last with Alice Soma in Arizona as she prepared for her own death. The body of Christ matters to Alice. And she was reminded in love that her life, her body, for love mattered to the body of Christ. And here we are, this evening, spread across miles, and yet still together in this space of worship, loving one another. Paul's letter to the Corinthians was a pastoral one, and they were having some issues understanding how their individual lives affected the larger body of Christ, and he encouraged them to discern their lives and their choices. And basically what he was doing, he was calling the church in Corinth to Jesus' commandment to love one another and to be the body of Christ. Today, if Paul was writing a COVID-19 pastoral letter to Chelan, I'm guessing he would remind us all to use discernment as individuals and collectively as the body of Christ in this time when each one's well-being matters to the well-being of all the others. Paul would ask us to pray as the church, but in our homes, and to offer support to one another, especially to those who are poor, alone, or already in need of healing. He would encourage us in abiding faith to wait for the time when it's right to celebrate again through singing harmonies and in passing of the peace and with physical proximity at the table for the Eucharist. He would ask us to look into quiet streets and empty sidewalks and see them as love for one another. And then he would let us know that although he would not be coming to visit us in Chelan due to social distancing, he would offer his prayer for us, that we would be showered in lavish love, firm faith, generous grace, and a plenitude of patience through this trying time of being the body of Christ together, apart. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Amen.